Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
We're going to have fun today, eh?
No, absolutely. A lot of fun and a bit of controversy. I would say a bit of controversy because it's that time.
Well, if it's biblical.
Yeah. It's that
it
time
to
of
be
the
controversial
year.
Controversial in 2023.
It's that time of the year when a lot of us are doing our 7 days, 21 days, 40 days of fasting. And the aim is to consecrate the year, you know, to God and make sure that we're hearing Him clearly about what the word is for this year. Now, we're not critiquing that.
No.
We're not critiquing that at all. But today we want to talk about true fasting because we have to be honest, we're living in very different times than what was happening in Scripture. And so it's important to go back to the purpose, the aim of the fast, and what it is some of us should be fasting. Like, for example, I can't necessarily be fasting like he fasts because we've got different struggles. We've got different things that keep our attention away from God. So that's where we're starting off. I want to hear your take, Danny.
Well, so my take is not controversial, all
it
right?
Is.
I'm preparing them, all right? To say that I've found in the last few years, the church, the body of Christ, has become very comfortable in the Daniel fast, you know, and it's not a bad thing. It's something that I did for a very long time until last year where something quite strange happened. You know, I was on my Daniel fast. It was a 40-day fast and you know, I was ready for this fast to end. You know, 40 days is a long time, one meal a day, not eating meat and all of that. And just as I thought that the fast was ending, the Lord told me, well, you're now starting with your actual fast. And I thought, wait a minute, we just finished, you know. And He said, no, you are starting your 40-day fast and you are not going to eat for 40 days. I honestly thought I should call my lawyer, write a will, you know. And I remember just telling my wife, like, I'm not going to eat for 40 days. Mm-hmm. And it was quite scary,
yes.
You know, because it felt like, wow, when was the last time I've actually really not eaten during a fast for a prolonged period of time? And to not do even a 7 day or 21 day of it, but a 40 day was a scary idea. But I'm saying this to say, my focus is not the amount of days or all of that, but to say we're in a culture where food has become an idol. You know, we actually joke about this with some of my friends that, you know, when you were younger and broke and really in maybe university trusting the Lord, you know, fasting was easier because you couldn't even afford the food you actually wanted to eat, you know?
Yeah.
So your good food was probably like McDonald's or something. But the older you get, you know, and you're earning a salary, you're working somewhere, you have a lovely wife who cooks your favorite meals, like one of my friends, Paul, one mission who he is. You know, it becomes harder because you've got the choice and it's in your kitchen, you know, it's in your lovely partner. And some of us need to really re-examine our fasting because we even fast in a way that is comfortable for us. You know, I was speaking to a friend of mine recently and she was telling me how they sat down as a family and they decided they were going on a fast. And everyone said what they couldn't really live without. I think someone said, all right, I'll fast, but let me at least keep my coffee. Someone else was like, well, if he's keeping the coffee, why can't I at least keep my wine, you know? And we just laughed about it. But are we fasting food completely again? You know, when's the last time you actually didn't eat, let's say for 7 days, and did something that was as scary as that thought of doing that 40-day fast? I was petrified. I knew this one will require God. The 21-day one I've mastered.
The 21-day Daniel one.
I've mastered, you know, I can wake up tomorrow and do it. Not to say it's not hard, but it's not something I think about and think, yo, I need God to get through this one. I know it's a bit uncomfortable and all of that. So I'm putting this on the table to say, are we perhaps fasting in our comforts?
You know, as you say that, I want to go to scripture. And it's the Old Testament, which is weird because it was already suggesting that even the emphasis on food is not always right because of what a true fast actually is. You know, I was once speaking to a friend and she was saying, you know, there are so many sins today that didn't exist in the Bible. And I have no idea how to speak God into a person that's doing ABC because ABC is not in the Bible. And in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit saying that we live in such a fallen time that the Holy Spirit will have to guide you on what the original sin is that led to that behavior. So you might have someone that's really violent or whatever, right? But the base sin could be rebellion. And that's how the Holy Spirit is going to have to lead you, that maybe it's pride that led to what you're seeing. So the emphasis on the Holy Spirit in our time is really, really important because we have the Holy Spirit and we have different challenges than what we see in the Bible. So is it possible that the Holy Spirit could lead you to fast something that isn't food simply because your struggle in that area is much stronger than with food? I mean, one of my fasts, the Lord said, yes, you're fasting, but no social media. And that was harder than the food. I mean, I was doing it simultaneously, but there's this behavior of waking up in the morning and first thing you check is your messages, right? And it makes sense because that's your livelihood. Our livelihoods are in these devices. It's work, it's family. So when you wake up in the morning, I mean, not to criticize anybody, it's a necessity. Life is moving so quickly that you have to check those notifications. Did someone reach you in the middle of the night? Are there any bank notifications? But when you're fasting social media, you can't just wake up and check your phone. And that for some of us is much harder than fasting food. So I quickly want to look at scripture where food is kind of put aside as the true fast and something else is being spoken of. Isaiah 58 verse 3-7, it's a little bit long, but bear with me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves and you don't even notice it. I will tell you why I respond. It is because you're fasting to please yourselves. I just quickly want to stop there for a second. There are fasts, according to scripture, that we do to please ourselves.
To tick that January.
Yes, to say, oh, January, poof, I did it. So there's such a thing as a self-pleasing fast. Please remember this. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through motions of penance, bowing your head, heads like reeds, bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this kind of fasting won't. Free those who you have wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. So that scripture is saying some of these acts are registered as fasting, not just the burlap and the chastising yourself and doing the things that please you. So even as we speak of fasting, the emphasis on food can be wrong for me.
Mm.
I might have a wine issue. I might have a coffee issue. Because what is the definition of a fast? Time you put aside to spend with God.
Mm.
And anything that you would usually do that consumed your time and made you not be able to spend time with God, you remove that. So the phone is a very, very big likely fast for our generation. Because if you do the screen time thing, which I do, so shocking, it can easily message me at midnight and say, you spent 11 hours on your phone.
Mm.
And it's just on and off. It's not like I'm there the whole day. But every time there's a message, you pick up, you pick up. And you begin to realize that's 11 hours gone.
Mm.
That if you removed that device, you would spend with the Lord. So it's not always about food either.
Mm.
And the self-pleasing fast, like, I want to touch on something else, actually. These January, Easter, you know, group fastings, right? Are we still being called to them individually? It's not wrong to fast corporately, but there is a huge aspect of fasting that's private and that's a call by God, because it's much too difficult to do it because the pastor said, let's do it.
Yeah. I actually remember, and I think it was last year, where for the first time in a long time, I really felt you are not fasting this January, because the group thing has kind of lost its true meaning. You know, are we, is it really consecration, or has it become habit? And that's the dangerous part of fasting. When fasting becomes a habit, and you do it in a way that you know that you can. I'm actually going to share quite an interesting testimony on this. I was called to do a deliverance on someone, and it was probably in the top fives of the worst situations I've seen, where the person was really possessed by a certain entity. I'm not going to go too deep into that. But the Lord told me, you need to fast. And without really inquiring what kind of fast, I decided Daniel fast. And went into a Daniel fast, went for the deliverance. And guys, we prayed for that person from 5 p.m. through the night till the next morning at 9 a.m. when I was literally leaving. And the demon said, where are you going, pastor? We're not done. And I remember just being in absolute shock and leaving with my tail between my legs. And as I drove off, I was asking the Lord, what went wrong? And the Lord reminded me, I told you to fast. And now I'm bringing this because you said something. You said the Holy Spirit should lead. Now, when the Holy Spirit should lead, can we at least give him time to finish speaking? In my case, he said fast, and I immediately jumped to what was comfortable for me. I didn't stop to say, okay, fast, but which one? And I had to then go on a dry fast, understanding that this situation is at that level. Now, some of you are dealing with very hectic financial situations, physical situation, sicknesses, you name it. But when you hear God say fast, you're not going deep into understanding. Like, am I to fast my phone and the food and maybe certain people and environments for a certain period of time? Do you give the Holy Spirit time to give you that exact direction? I almost feel like you need a 5-day prayer time inquiring on your fast before you embark on your fast.
Yeah.
You know, like you really have to pray and make sure the fast, and I'm sorry for putting it this way, will not be a waste of time. Because I feel that fast I did before that deliverance was a waste of time, because I didn't fast the way the Lord wanted me to fast. And therefore, I went there. The results were terrible. Mm-hmm. And in the end of the day, I had to walk away defeated. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you guys, how many of you, your current fast, maybe you came out of the fast, you know, like I came out of that 40-day fast. Mm-hmm. And at the end, the Lord was saying, now you actually have to go into a fast. Some of you guys are going to fast again. Because the corporate fast, you did it so corporate that even when the pastor gave you guys directions, you didn't go back with that and ask the Lord, how exactly am I supposed to go? Is there some things I'm supposed to add on to this? And maybe right now, when you're finishing your 21-day Daniel fast, mm-hmm. the Lord is now saying, okay, you, no sugar. You, no social media. You, no food. And the no food thing, I felt it heavy on my spirit to mm-hmm. say, when was the last time mm-hmm. you did not go, when was the last time you went without food for a while? 7 days, mm-hmm. 21 days, 30 days, 40 days. We need to defeat food again. Mm-hmm. We need to defeat social media again. You know, we need to renew our minds and come back to a place where the Lord really is preoccupying, he's taking over our preoccupations.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the type of fasting, depending on your situation, and that's why we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Lord could really release you to fast with the corporate, but they're fasting differently than you are. That's still very valid. And it's important that we keep consulting the Holy Spirit, because even when we speak about the Daniel fast, right, I found something doing a study of the book of Daniel. There are like 3 Daniel fasts in the book of Daniel, not just one, the 21 day that we focus on. There's the 10 days where the guard came to check on the 4 Israelites to check if they were doing well. And when the guard saw that they were stronger than the other men after 10 days, he then kept them on a vegetable diet for the next 3 years. Yes. So there's a 3-year component to that fast where for 3 years, they ate nothing but veggies, no meat or wine, and they were then the strongest ones that Nebuchadnezzar, you know, took into his guard. So there's the 10 days, there's the 3 years, and then there's the 21 days. And the 21 days had more components to it. He didn't even put on lotion in the 21-day one. Somehow lotion was a thing for him, because what he was dealing with later during those 21 days is not what he was dealing with when he was being chosen or looked at as one of the young men to be chosen for the king. So the fasts were tweaked each time. But something that I found interesting with Daniel is that those 10 days/3 years, they needed energy. They needed strength. They were being put through physical activity. And we all know the benefits, the minerals that come with veggies, etc. And when I looked at it closely, I could see that these were not people who were sitting somewhere in a monastery, like reading the word and just basking in the secret place with God. If they were doing that, it might have been water. But because they needed to be physical, and Daniel was in a physical role where he would have visions and go to people and speak to people, he needed to have strength because he was a wise man, right? So that fast was tailored to him. Ironically, when we look in scripture, a lot of people are not fasting for an immediate breakthrough. Mm. We see people fasting before major events. Mm. For example, Paul fasted unwillingly before he was released into ministry, because on the road to Damascus, when he went blind, those 3 days he didn't eat neither. So it was only on the 4th day that he ate. And we see it happening mostly before the Lord releases you into some really big decisions. Mm. Even Jesus was led into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. Mm. So it wasn't by his own accord. The Holy Spirit led him to a place where later the enemy would tempt him. After those 40 days, Jesus was then released into his own ministry. So even the way that we fast and we think of fasting, the Lord can call you to a fast because you have to make really big decisions.
Yeah.
And those decisions will be contingent upon what you know from the Holy Spirit by way of impartation during that actual fast. And I actually wanted to show the aspect of prepping for a fast. You know, there's a lot of research on how you can't binge eat the day before your fast and it be healthy for you, like medically, right? So even spiritually, there is a preparation. As you know your fast is coming up, the aspect of asking the Holy Spirit is really real. And I'm going to go to the book of Daniel again. This is the point at which Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. And he said that he would put all the wise men to death if no one could interpret the dream. So we know that Daniel was that guy. Daniel was going to interpret the dream regardless, right? But Daniel, in his wisdom and in his walk with the Holy Spirit, facing death, this is what Daniel said. Daniel 2, verse 16. At this time, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. I mean, interpretation and clarity was just dripping off of Daniel. So he could have just tried to interpret the dream. But that time he needed, the impartation of the Holy Spirit came that night and told him what the dream actually meant. And in this segment of scripture, what I see is that we need to ask for time. When we're asked to go into a fast, that time is a moment for the Holy Spirit to really speak to us personally. A fast is described in scripture as a sacrifice, right? It's also described as a humbling. So I would be bold enough to say, babe, if it's not a sacrifice, if it's not humbling, you're probably not fasting right. That's the thing.
That's right. And we have to just really be so careful to not get caught up in doing it for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, in doing it from a place of pride, in doing it from a place of comfort, because we are that generation. This is that generation where, you know, no one feels like they can be told what to do. We choose churches that we like. We quote scriptures that we like. You know, that people tell you, no, I don't like that book in the Bible. No, you know, maybe in this season, God wants to speak to you through the book you don't like, because it's not about your preference. You know, God needs to be able to lead us into things that we wouldn't like. I like how the scripture you read earlier that spoke about, you know, helping the family members. You know, some of us, it's family members that are terrible people. And God is saying, in this season, you need to actually get beyond what you feel about them. You know, so let's be prepared to humble ourselves and do what is right before the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God will lead you in the right fast. And we invite you next time. We'll be tackling
more on
fasting and waiting on God, and, you know, really the battle that we all have to face as we go into 2023. Thank you.
See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.